Welcome to the Fantasy Unicorns Podcast, a fantasy basketball podcast with a dynasty focus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Unicorns Basketball Podcast. It's been a while, but we're back. We're excited to be here. January 13th is when we're recording this. It's going to be myself, Tony Papadopoulos, and I'm joined by our much esteemed colleague and frequent contributor to the podcast, Kevin So. Kevin, how's it going, man?
It's going great, Tony.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too. You know, it's been a little while, and I'm excited to get back into some basketball talk.
Definitely. So we, as a result of it having been a while, we have a lot to talk about. But we're going to try and keep this episode nice and clean, consumable, easy to listen to. So we're going to kick it off with a week in review, and really, it's going to be more of an overview of kind of what's been going on recently and how we're looking at it. So let's start with that. With the week in review, we're going to be going over some of the updates in NBA recently, some news, who's been coming back into the spotlight, who's been falling out. First and foremost, we've got to talk about Kyrie Irving coming back. Had a good first game back and trounced the Hawks last night in a pretty nasty game. But Kyrie, exciting that he's back. Kevin, what do you expect for him? Some people come back slow. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case with Kyrie.
Yeah, he looked great. Obviously, I know it hurts for you being a Hawks fan to witness that type of destruction, but
I feel nothing. I feel nothing anymore. I'm used to the losing at this point. Six times we've won. It's not like I'm getting beaten up by it anymore.
Right. Yeah. But he did his damage in just 19 minutes. So they did ease him in to this game. I mean, he took 11 shots in those 19 minutes. Put up some light sort of other stats: 4 boards, 3 assists, and a steal. But he looked good. He looked pretty sharp. I think they're going to continue to ease him back in with the minutes, but I did see that they plan to play him in both games in the upcoming back-to-back, which is definitely a good sign that whatever they did with his shoulder, I believe it was like a cortisone shot or something, seemed to have done the trick. So, I wouldn't expect, top 10 Kyrie Irving for a while, but it's obviously time to get him back on your active rosters if you have him. And I had just traded for him actually in a dynasty league, and I'm excited to have him
very
back.
Very nice.
So yeah, it was very nice. It was a very Clint nice. Capella for Kyrie straight up. I had a lot of centers and needed some guard help, and figured don't often have a chance to get a guy that can be a top 10 type player that's in his prime. Mm. So I went for that one.
Mm. I think that's a great deal. I mean, Capella's good, but he's not, the upside isn't quite there. Kyrie is, he can give you a lot. So that's a good deal. Well done, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Congrats. moving on, Nikola Jokic, he's back. Ladies and gentlemen, he is back. He's giving us what we had hoped for. I think people who drafted him were hoping, that he would come back to the level that he was at last year, when some people were considering him to be an MVP candidate. I don't know. Obviously, he's not in the MVP conversation right now, but I don't know if his play recently has been as good as it was last year, but I think that we're close. I think that, for Jokic, it's all about how aggressive he is and how aggressive he wants to be. I think he also kind of plays himself into shape a little bit. He seemed really out of shape in the beginning of the season, but I think now, as we're kind of halfway through, I think he's played himself into shape, and we're seeing a focused and really impressive Jokic. I mean, he's doing everything. His assist numbers are back up to where they were last year. He's, you know, I mean, obviously his averages are about as good as you could hope for, shooting over 50% for a guy who scores at all three levels. I'm really impressed with him, his ability to come back. And I'm hoping that it means that the Nuggets are going to continue their dominance, because I would like to see them really take hold of the West.
Yeah, I've been impressed as well. I know in the beginning of the season, he was definitely a big disappointment. You know, I didn't draft him in any of my leagues, but I know some friends that did, and they got very frustrated. And oh man, if you could have seen the lowball offers they were getting for him, it was outrageous. And I told my friend to probably quit that league and get to a more legit one. But you know, he's the man. You know, he obviously they remember there was that kind of doughy picture of him in the in the summer, and everyone was kind of making jokes, and
which
and
one
it did kind of, you know, there was one of him sitting. It's the popular one that I remember. But you know, he's looked great. You know, he's worked himself into being the number six player according to my calculations in fantasy this year, which is right around where he was getting drafted. And that's for per game value. And so he looks great. And I think if you have him on your team, you're sitting pretty. If you have him in your dynasty league, you know, you've got an amazing center for the next 8 to 10 years right there.
So it's funny that you bring up low ball trade proposals, because I don't roster Jokic, but I was sent a trade offer for Jokic, and I'd be interested to get your take on this.
Okay.
Because I've been wrestling with it. So the trade is, I have Karl Anthony Towns, who we're going to get to later. And the trade is Jokic, Harry Giles, and Chris Boucher for Towns.
Interesting.
So it's an interesting deal. It's a very interesting deal, because not only is it Jokic, but it's also a couple of other interesting players. I'm leaning towards it. There's a lot of personal things. Let me get your take first, and then I'll give my, because there are reasons that I am looking at this trade. And this is important to say, because as always with trade offers, it's about context and what you're trying to do with your team. But I'd like to get your take on this first before I reveal my outlook.
Yeah. Karl Anthony Towns is a player that I drafted in actually our Fantasy Unicorns Dynasty League, number two overall in a startup league. So
right.
I have a very high opinion of him as far as his dynasty production that, you know, I can expect. He's super young. He's super polished already. He's seemed like, up until he got hurt, was just kind of having a really good year and had been improving in some areas in his game. You know, he was hitting a ton of threes, which was really cool to see. On the other hand, and this is maybe not the best fantasy advice, but I tend not to find him that enjoyable to watch. I think we've had discussions about this in previous episodes with Embiid versus Cat and that sort of thing. And there's just something about his game that I kind of find boring. And I don't know. It's kind of nitpicky and stuff, but
well, he's not aggressive.
He's not aggressive.
He doesn't take over the game.
Oh, no.
In the same way that other superstars do.
Yeah. I feel like he may be more of a Tim Duncan-esque kind of solid. Like, he's just going to always be consistent, but I feel like he's not that guy that can, if you need somebody to get 50 points, like, he's going to get 50 points type of thing.
Sure.
And so there's just maybe something about his personality or something that is no fault of his own. You know, I'm sure he's a great guy and stuff, but just, there's just kind of that X factor of a player who is going to obviously be the centerpiece of your team. I don't know. For me, it's like, I kind of want to have someone that has a little something more interesting going on, but I could be totally wrong. And this could just be my, you know, whatever interpretation of him, and I could be way off, but there's just something that is lacking there, I guess, in his play a little bit. But obviously numbers wise he's great, and he definitely does everything that's, you know, makes him that top tier dynasty league guy, to the point where, even though for me Jokic is more fun to watch, I probably would stick with Kat, because I think he can be the number one or number two player multiple years in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, whereas I don't know if Jokic quite reaches that level.
Right, and that's an interesting, so that's the core piece, right, that in fantasy they're kind of, and this is the point that I was going to make with regard to how my team is built. If I were, so Kat in this case, my team is very old. Kat is by far the youngest guy on my squad. The other players that I have are JJ Redick, DeAndre Jordan, Mason Plumlee, LaMarcus Aldridge. You get the picture. It's an old crew. So for me, Karl Anthony Towns is my get out of jail free card when this roster ages out. Because right now I'm in fourth in this league. I'm sort of positioning myself to hopefully get a shot at a chip, you know, to try and grab a ring. And you know, Karl Anthony Towns is my way of he's my golden parachute. If when my team finally ages out, I'm going to trade Karl Anthony Towns for multiple first round picks and projects players, you know, to jumpstart my rebuild. And so I can't give him up for Jokic. I mean, I guess theoretically I could use Jokic in the same way, but I don't think that Jokic, Giles and Boucher, who are sort of fringe contributors, they're not going to help me get a championship, which is what I want. And I have to say recently, and well, I mean, this is a good segue into the next segment that we're going to talk about here, the next portion, which is what's up with Karl Anthony Towns. Right. To that point, he's missed the last month, and with a sort of, you know, might be a knee injury / illness. It's a left knee sprain, but he's been out since December 18th. There has been sort of rumblings around potentially him he's not happy in Minnesota, and they might be looking to trade him. So there's something around that. I mean, what's your take on him being out for a month and sort of the confusion around that? I mean, I really want to know, because I have not been happy lately with my team's production here. I'm trying to win a championship, and he's tanked my last couple.
You're still in fourth place, and I think actually in that league you beat me last week. So even without Karl Anthony Towns, but I don't know. For me, there's something is going on. I think that he's not rushing back, obviously. And now, like you said, there was some knee stuff, and now there's an illness. I'm not saying that he's definitely getting traded, but he may be just kind of at least letting the team know that they need to kind of get their act together, and is not rushing back to a team that's 12th place in the West. And, you know, most likely at best is looking at like an 8 seed if they start playing better. I don't know. I think the team that they built, there's some promise there. You know, I think the drafting of Jarrett Culver, you know, we're going to get some rookies later. You know, that I think that fits well with him, but I think overall the building that team hasn't really worked out, obviously. And you know, he is that next superstar that, you know, will probably be looking for a new home at some point in the near future. And you know, he's one of the best players in the league, and he'll get something, and he'll figure something out. And if Minnesota doesn't get their act together, then you know, they may have to just see what they can get for him. So we'll see.
He's going to have to command at least the same type of deal that Anthony Davis did, right?
Yeah, I think that's what he's aiming for. I mean, a lot depends on how the cap looks.
Right.
You know, I know stuff's a little bit in flux right now with all the stuff going on with China and everything, but I think that's his goal. I mean, that's what he wants to do. You know, I know there have been, you know, all sorts of crazy rumors on the internet and stuff, and I know like the Knicks have been sniffing around and trying to figure out what they can do. you know,
the Hawks apparently were in talks.
Oh yeah, for yeah. It, there you go. Yeah,
I mean, but I don't see that happening.
So we'll see what happens, because I wouldn't be happy if I were him either. You know, you're a top guy, but they can't really put a winning squad around you. And, you know, it's Minnesota, so it's not really the most fun place to play, probably, you know.
So. Indeed, no. there was so much hope around this team, right, when they first started out. In the beginning of the season, they actually were pretty – they were one of the – you know, they started out pretty hot. People were saying, mm-hmm. well –
Yeah, well, he was playing here. Great. He was playing great,
and Wiggins was playing great, too.
Yeah, that's true. Wiggins has
– And not that he hasn't. I mean, Wiggins has actually played quite well. He's continued to play well. The thing with Towns is that he literally just signed an extension. So that's a contract. He just signed his contract with Minnesota. So it's just really strange, the whole situation. I'm really confused by it all, particularly as someone who rosters him. I'm concerned by the fact that he seems to not be willing to kind of rush back to get back in there, even when the team early on showed some signs of playing well and winning games. It just seems like that kind of fell apart. And that's concerning. It's upsetting when a player like that, you know, is sort of being put in that position. On the bright side, you know, Gorju Dang has played pretty well with Cat out. So, you know, hey, there's hope, I guess.
Yeah. Jang is actually one of those players that's always been productive whenever he's been given minutes. And he just kind of has had a raw deal the last couple of seasons.
He's like Biyombo.
Biyombo, a little bit.
it's like, you know, Biyombo. I mean, Biyombo's been someone who has been pretty good, honestly, for Charlotte in the few chances that he's been given the opportunity. Someone else who stepped up, you know, Karl Anthony Towns sat for a month. Another young player who sat for a while was Bagley. He's back now. But in the time that Marvin Bagley was out, Rashawn Holmes stepped up and really played very, very well, to the point where Dwayne Dedman took a fine to say that he doesn't want to play there anymore, because they're clearly giving more minutes to Holmes over Dedman at those center minutes. He's injured right now. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks. But Rashawn Holmes has been really impressive. What are your thoughts on his sort of coming up into real serious contention for Kings front court minutes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Holmes has been amazing this year. When he was in Philadelphia, I always thought, you know, this guy's better than they're giving him minutes. You know, they're not giving him enough minutes for how good of a player
he is. I was not a believer. I thought that he was just like early on, I was not a believer, but I see it now. I think he's developed really well.
Yeah, he's not really excellent in any particular one thing, but he's just the guy that gets it done. And you know, he gets decent points, gets a lot of boards, gets an assist, gets a steal, gets a block, gets good percentages, hits his free throws. And he's only 26 years old, so he's still a young guy. And I think he's really showing what he can do. He's actually, and this is a little shocking, the number 14 player in fantasy this year. And you know, no one would have guessed that. And, you know, if you drafted him in, I don't know, the 7th round or 8th round, you're probably in pretty good shape right now. But
pretty happy.
He's looked great. And I think this, he's able to show, he finally got a real opportunity with that injury, and he's just ran with it. And I think, you know, I'm looking at his contract right now. It looks like he signed through next year for $5 more million. And you know, if he has a really good, you know, if he continues to play really well, he could work himself into a nice extension, or even like a really solid contract with another team. So sure. I think he's done well for himself. And I think he's a guy that is going to be on the fantasy radar moving forward, you know, in future seasons as well.
For sure. For sure. So the last piece of news here to cover, Joel Embiid had the pretty gruesome dislocated finger that I'm sure we all saw that required surgery this week or last week, end of last week. Embiid had a surgery on his finger. It's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Doesn't mean that he's going to come back in 2 weeks, but that's when we should get some more news on him. Perhaps not a long enough injury to justify really investing too heavily in any of Philly's backups, but I think in the short term, we should see an uptick in Al Horford's usage, which perhaps I think some people who drafted Horford were hoping that this year he would be able to maintain some more value than he has, but we should get some of that now. What are your thoughts here on Embiid's injury? Are there any signs here that, you know, maybe some, because it seems like Ben Simmons is also getting a pretty big uplift with him being gone. So what's your take on Philly?
I mean, I think it gets spread across. I think, you know, pointing out Al Horford is smart. I think he's a guy that, you know, this is why they wanted him so badly, is that they knew that Embiid is just, he's destined to miss time at some point or another. And they have wanted a guy who, savvy veteran, can really excel when they need him to, but can also just play his role if Embiid's rolling. But, Ben Simmons is going to pick up some more offensive responsibility. Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, those guys, are going to pick up some slack. And one guy in deeper leagues to keep an eye on potentially is Matisse Thybul. He played 27 minutes in the last game. So
I like him a lot.
Yeah, if people remember him from sort of beginning of the season, he was playing really well and was just getting like a ton of steals and blocks and was just kind of blowing people away with that. And, you know, he has that potential. Too. Yeah. Yeah. And he has that potential to, he's not going to get you many points. He can get you a couple boards, the occasional assist, but his real value is in the steals and sometimes blocks. So if you're looking for something like that on the end of your bench, he's a guy to look at especially while Embiid's out, because he seems to have upped his minutes since that.
For sure. I do you have any thoughts? And this is in super, super deep leagues, but Norvel Pell or Pele, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a guy that,
you know, he's going to get a few backup minutes, I guess, in a streaming situation. If you're looking for someone, you need rebounds, might be an interesting pickup in a deep league.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And even Kyle O'Quinn, who is another one of those guys that for some reason doesn't get a ton of minutes, but anytime he does, he does get some fantasy production that for deeper leagues can make him, a sneaky play.
For sure. So that wraps up our, our month in review in this case, but that wraps up our week in review. Stay tuned. We're going to dive into our Dynasty Corner and talk through some interesting things around strategy, as well as do a deep dive on rookies. So stick with us for that. Welcome back to the Fantasy Unicorns. For this second segment here, we're going to go into our Dynasty Corner. It's going to be nice and cozy in the Dynasty Corner. We're going to talk about a lot of things that might be on your mind as a Dynasty fantasy basketball player. First off, we're going to start with an enigma team, which is the New Orleans Pelicans. Definitely a confusing franchise right now. And perhaps the largest enigma on that roster, which is Brandon Ingram, who has surprised perhaps some people. I think there are some people who have been Ingram truthers since the beginning and are feel vindicated at this point. And there are those people who are sort of begrudgingly saying that, you know, yeah, he's good, but is he going to be good when Zion comes back? And that's a fair question, I think. Up to this point, Brandon Ingram has given you kind of everything across the board. Amazing free throw. He's hitting five free throws a game, which is really impressive to me. Being able to put in five free throws a game is very impressive. I think that his ability to score at the line is something that he hasn't been doing in the past. He's hitting 2.5 three-pointers a game, which is way more than he's ever hit in his career. And he's getting assists. He's just over 4 assists a game, and he's still providing decent rebounds. He's scoring a ton, 25 points a game. He's had some injuries. He's out currently. I think a lot of people have been impressed with Brandon Ingram. But the question is, as I mentioned earlier, you know, is Zion going to impact his ability to sort of keep those numbers up? And so that's my question to you, Kevin. What's your take on Brandon Ingram's ability to keep it up with Zion? And, you know, do you think that his current trajectory, where he's, you know, potentially a top 10 fantasy asset at this point, at least for this season, do you think he can keep it up?
Yeah, Ingram has been a nice surprise for me. I remember, you know, his days out in LA, and he was always, you know, I never fully bought in. You know, I didn't quite see it, and I knew he was a good scorer, but I think I just didn't realize that he had the potential for the type of well-rounded game that he has. You know, 25 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, you know, a steal, almost a block. Like you mentioned, 2.5 threes, which is a huge jump from what he's been doing before. Getting to the line, good percentages. And he's just been amazing for fantasy teams this year. I do think when Zion comes back, and it sounds like he could be back sometime soon, he's going to take a usage hit. I think he's going to lose some of that offensive responsibility. And, you know, while I think he's still going to be, you know, a top 20 player this season, and I think it's going to take a while for Zion to really get up and running, but I do think he's the type of player that's really going to kind of command the ball more than any other player on the team. That, you know, Ingram's 25 points may start looking more like, you know, 22 points, that sort of thing. And, you know, he may have improvements in efficiency because he's taking less shots, or he has another guy out there that can really, you know, the defense is really focused on. But I think he will take a little bit of a hit when Zion comes back. And it'll be interesting to see moving forward how they coexist. You know, I think he's only signed through this year, and yet they have a qualifying offer for him for next year. So, you know, he could potentially go somewhere else in the near future. And I guess he has to decide if he wants to try to share the stage with Zion, but hopefully, you know, they'll have some time together this season to really see what the chemistry is like and see how they play together. But I think he will take a little bit of a hit.
Yeah, I think his scoring, I think you're spot on with his scoring, taking a bit of a hit because Zion is going to command a lot of attention. I think where we'll see, you know, hopefully what one development that we shouldn't see change is his ability to get assists, which has been a huge difference for him. And an opportunity because of his position, you know, getting someone who's able to get you assists from the, you know, small forward, power forward, if that's how your league is set up, or the forward position, that's great. And I think that it's possible that he could actually see an uptick in his assists with Zion, someone else who can finish. Hopefully it actually opens up some space for him. And then maybe his 3-point shooting won't take as big of a hit because Zion's going to cause many defenses to collapse in some good kickout opportunities for him. So hopefully he'll be able to keep that up. But, you know, it might take away from Brandon Ingram's, from his slashing, which is his main, you know, benefit. And I think what, you know, if his slashing goes down, then that's where the scoring is going to take a hit. And so, yeah, but I do think that his value is not in the 25 points a game. I think it's just in how he's providing value across the board. So I think it's possible for him to maintain. But, you know, we won't really know because, again, we really don't know how NBA defenses are going to respond to Zion. So there's just so many question marks there. Any final thoughts on Brandon Ingram and the Pelicans?
No, I think you covered it pretty well there.
Cool. So next we're going to talk a little bit about dynasty strategy. As most of you listening should know, there's generally speaking, you know, two approaches that you can take. One is contending and the other is rebuilding. Generally, that's sort of the approach that you're going to take. So, you know, we're going to look at a few players and we're going to sort of really we're going to focus on the contending side of things. We're going to focus on players that are older who, you know, you might have on your roster if you were hoping to contend. And we're going to try and help you out thinking through what you should do with these players and how you should approach assessing their value and what their value might be in trade situations. So we're going to start with our man Jingles, you know, a favorite, I think, of NBA fans. The Jazz have been a very interesting team, perhaps underperforming. He certainly was underperforming, but he stepped up. So what's your take on Ingles here? I mean, where do you see his value at right now in a dynasty from a dynasty standpoint? And how are you evaluating Joe Ingles for rest of season?
Yeah, he's looks like the 78th ranked player this season. He's, you know, pretty steady, and he's an old guy. You know, he's 32, and he doesn't carry that much weight in dynasty leagues. But he is a guy that really, you know, kind of contributes across the board. You know, he can get points. You know, he's had a couple 20 plus point games this season. He's really good with assists. You know, he's especially with sort of the non-play of Mike Conley this season. He's picked up a lot of that slack and has really, you know, been doing well with dishing the ball. And, you know, and he hits his threes. So he's a nice all-around contributor. But in dynasty leagues, you know, youth is king, as we're kind of alluding to. But for those competing leagues, he's a really good guy to maybe seek out if you don't, you know, if you're looking for a little help in assists and threes and that sort of thing. I ended up trading for him in that league that we were discussing earlier. And, you know, I gave up some youth prospects because I am competing. And I ended up with Joe Ingles and some other older players to kind of help hopefully give me a little bit more production this season before I start tanking again.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think that his value sort of starts and stops with the contenders, right? Like, there's no one else who's going to be interested. So if you're in a dynasty situation and perhaps you're saying, well, I can't hold on to Ingles because I'm not as good as I thought I was going to be and I need to get in some youth, trading him to a contender, you know, and I think right now the pitch is, well, Mike Conley hasn't been, it's exactly what you said, Mike Conley hasn't been playing a lot. And on top of that, he recently, you know, Ingles was recently put into the starting lineup again, and his production has skyrocketed since being in the starting lineup because they really need what he can do. So I think that you make that pitch that you say, hey, for the rest of the season, Ingles is going to be that guy. And I think that you can get, you know, maybe not a top flight prospect, but a solid young player who maybe is on a good player who's on a, in a situation where they can't really perform, maybe like a Cheick Diallo or something like that. Like, that's someone who, if you're looking to rebuild, could be an interesting option, and might be, you know, that plus maybe like a second round pick that would be enough for Ingles. All right. So moving on, Kyle Lowry has been up and down this season, but a lot of ups, definitely a lot to be happy about, barring, you know, having missed a few games to injury. What's your take on Kyle Lowry and what his value is for competing teams?
Yeah, he's another guy. He'll actually be 34 later in the season, and he's kind of as productive as he's ever been this season, like minus the injuries, as you mentioned. But, you know, 20 points, 4.5 boards, almost 8 assists, over a steal, half a block, hitting a ton of threes. So, obviously, field goal percentage is always going to be one of his weak spots, but otherwise, he's looked really good. But again, that age is going to always hold him back. So you're going to see in a lot of sort of savvy dynasty leagues, if your team is not potentially competing this season, you know, you're going to want to probably move on from Lowry because he's A, going to hurt your draft chances, but also, you know, he's old and he's not helping your team 3 years from now. But he can help a team this year. He's I think, a top 60 player this season. And if you need assists and you need points, and you need threes, he's, you know, one of the top guys. So I think definitely make that pitch if you are not competing and you own him. And if you need someone like that on your roster, then that's the type of guy that you go after and try to pick up.
Yeah, got to agree on the Lowry stuff. I guess for me, I think another part of that is, and another part of the argument, especially for rest of season, is that barring any injury, the Raptors are going to be playing hard all through the season. They're going to be a team that's in the mix. They're going to want to be competitive all through the year. You're not going to have any of these like sitting situations that you might have with older players at the end of the season. like LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, if they, well, I guess not LMA because they'll, I mean, the Spurs aren't, they're going to be using a lot of him. But some of the older guys, if they're on really good teams, like LeBron, he might be sitting later on in the season as they get closer to the playoffs. It's not going to be happening with Lowry. You're going to get production all through the season for him, barring any injuries. So another point there. Next player to talk about, I mean, what a story. Carmelo, he's been something. He has been something. I can't say that, you know, I mean, listen, I can't take anything away from Carmelo Anthony. He came back and he has been really impressive. He's rebounding well. He's scoring really well. He's hitting threes. He's shooting. I mean, he's shooting decent. He's not tanking your field goal percentage. I'll say that. He's not completely tanking your field goal percentage. He's even getting like a steal a game, which is unbelievable. I'm flabbergasted, honestly. I don't know if it's that he's actually good or if just the Blazers are actually that bad that like they need him. But I'm impressed. I think that at least for what it's worth this season, I think if you're in a redraft league, he's definitely worth picking up. I think in Dynasty, it's tough. If you're a contender, maybe, you know, maybe go for it. But I'm not super excited by that prospect. But, you know, I mean, if you need scoring and you need some rebounds, why not? You know, I say go for it. Well, what are your thoughts, Kevin, on
Carmelo? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I added him to this list because I did end up trading for him. I was not a believer of him coming back.
Trading for him. You went and you
traded
got
for him. I well, someone offered a trade. I got talked into it because I needed points and I needed more threes. And he has been doing pretty well across the board. And you mentioned the steals, and he's actually been getting a little bit more blocks. I think he's been down a little recently, but he was on a little roll there. And he's surprised me. I didn't think he was going to score double digits, and he's averaging over 16 points a game. And I think, you know, he's kind of a lock for a top 100 ish. I think rest of the season, unless things go real south with Portland. But they just don't have any other guys behind him. Like everyone, like Zach Collins is hurt. You know, Nurkic is hurt. Whiteside's like always hurt. So this is like their front court just doesn't really have a lot of depth to it, and I think they're going to kind of rely on him more than we would have all guessed. But I ended up giving up a super late first-round pick for him in a 30-team league. So it's currently nice. The team that's number two in the league. So
okay.
It'll be the, you know, 29th, 28th, something like that pick at the end.
That's
and
a
so
solid trade. If you're contending, that's a solid trade.
Yeah, so I mean, you mentioned you're the number four team. I'm the number six team, so I'm in the mix. I'm going for it, and you know, just
hey,
to kind
not?
Of stack some more points and threes and a couple boards onto my stats. I figured it was time to do it. So, but he's a guy that, you know, hopefully he's able to keep it together and hopefully Portland sort of stays within the mix so that they don't decide to just kind of end the season for him. But I'm crossing my fingers right now.
Do you think this is his last season, or do you think he gets back in?
I think he gets back in. I think he showed he can do it. I think he wants to do it too. It looks like I feel like he's that superstar. I think that caught a really bad rap the last couple of years, justifiably.
Yeah. I mean, he earned it a little bit.
He did, and I think he wants to kind of change that narrative before he retires. And if he can latch on with a contender next year, or if he could come out and, you know, play really well for a full season next year, I think that would at least kind of end things on a high note for him for a career.
I want to see it. I want to see him get, you know, appreciated. I want to see him do the Vince Carter, you know, thing. I'd like to see it. I don't know if he will, but I'd like to see it. I just need more of Melo cursing at his teammates when he grabs a rebound. I just need more of that, you know, fuck out of here. I need that.
Right, right.
I just need it. So the next player, a personal favorite of mine, Paul Millsap. I love Paul Millsap. I he was an awesome fantasy resource. But unfortunately, this season hasn't quite given you the same thing. I don't know if people were really expecting him to, but I mean, he's not killing you, but he's been injured here and there, and he, you know, is kind of fringe top 100. What are your thoughts on Millsap? And, you know, do you think that we'll see him get back, you know, potentially to where he was, you know, before pre-injury last year?
Yeah, he's, you know, another old guy. I guess that's the thing we're doing here. And
that's the theme.
Yeah, that's the theme. You know, the thing is, he has a really good younger player that's kind of nipping at his heels in Jeremy Grant, who go ahead.
Love, by the way.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's really, you know, he's developed quite a bit in the last like 2 or 3 years, I think. And so it just makes it so Denver kind of has this embarrassment of riches where they don't really need to play anybody, you know, 35 minutes. You know, Jokic is their best guy, but everyone else is like slightly interchangeable. And you got this younger guy who's really active on defense, and, you know, is doing a lot of good things on the court, which helps probably prolong Millsap's career. So if you're looking at it in that terms, you know, of a dynasty league, if he stays in Denver, maybe this gives him another couple years of, you know, like you said, top 100-ish value. But overall, I see him kind of fading. And, you know, if I'm, you know, same deal as all the others, if you're contending, you know, see if you can get him cheap. And if you're not, then see if you can grab a late first round pick or some sort of young prospect for him.
I'm a little more concerned about Millsap, unfortunately. I actually don't. And I was a huge Paul Millsap fan when he was in Atlanta, obviously, you know, all-star seasons. I really worry. It really seems like he's lost a step. Maybe it's the injuries, maybe it's, you know, other stuff, but he's not all the things that made him so great, particularly the defensive things. They're just not really quite there to the same degree. And it's going to be difficult for him to retain his value unless he's getting you that 1.5 steal. You know, he almost led the NBA in steals for a few years. It really was. I mean, he was a steals machine. And he just hasn't really been that since his injury. I think he's lost a step. And I just, for fantasy purposes, to your point, I think that what you said is exactly right. I mean, definitely if you can get him for cheap, go for it. But I just think that it's really tough. I think it's tough with him. If you're hoping for some kind of comeback from him, I don't think it's going to come. I think this is sort of the beginning of the end for Millsap. And I hate to say it, and I hope he proves me wrong, but that's what I'm feeling for him. So anyway, moving on. I'm sad about it. Moving on, a player who has been fantastic, really, really fantastic. Chris Paul. I mean, I've been super impressed with him this year. I mean, I thought that he was going to be complacent. I thought that he might not, you know, I should have known better because he's a supreme competitor. But I thought that, you know, maybe just with the Thunder, I thought they were going to be way worse than they've been. And I thought that he was, you know, not going to, you know, maybe get injured. Maybe they were going to do one of those wink, wink, hey, man, you know, maybe just sit out a few games, that type of thing. But that hasn't been the case. He's been amazing. I mean, he's doing it all. I mean, he's rebounding. He's got 5 rebounds a game, 1.5 steals, 6.5 assists. You know, he's great field goal percentage for a point guard, 47%. It's really impressive what he's been able to do. He looks better than he did last year. What do you think, Kevin? Is CP3 in OKC? Is it real? I mean, are we buying it?
Yeah, for sure. He's looked great. And I had the same exact concerns you did. I thought, oh, he's not going to be happy there and they're going to be resting him and he's going to have little nagging injuries. But he's been great so far. He's been a top 10 player in fantasy, and at 34 going on 35 before the season officially ends, I think, you know, he's doing it as an old man. And
I love it.
I, I think he's kind of learned to adapt his game a little bit as he's lost a little bit of a step, to still be super effective. And, you know, he plays really well off of, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think they work well together. And yeah, I think obviously he's a great asset for this season. If you can get him away from whoever rosters him as a, if you're a competing team, by all means, you know, I think he's going to be good, you know, all the way through this year. And he still has stuff left in the tank. But at the same time, if you can get a very good young prospect away from a team that wants him, you know, and you're rebuilding, then that makes sense too. I think, you know, I think, you know, if he's got another two more years, maybe of being potentially a top-ish player, then I think that's pretty good. But otherwise, you know, you start to look to the future and see who you can get for him as well.
For sure. Yeah, I'm really happy with CP3. I mean, I don't roster him in any leagues at all. But I'm really happy for him. I really think it's great that he, you know, has still managed. And I think it's also a testament to Coach Donovan. I think he was getting a lot of a bad rap because people thought he was a bad coach. I thought he was a bad coach, but this series really proven it all wrong. I've watched them play, and I mean, I'm watching them right now. They're beating the Wolves. His offense is clearly, he has something figured out for point guards, because even Dennis Schroeder has been able to maintain value. I mean, Schroeder's been great this year. And he's, I think, a potential sixth man of the year candidate.
Especially
if the Thunder stay in a playoff contention with the roster that they have, it's all because of Donovan. So it's impressive. What he's been able to do and what the Thunder have been able to do. Now, an older player who is on a team that actually did live up to their very low expectations this year, or lived down to their low expectations. The Cleveland Cavaliers and Kevin Love. There's been a lot of rumbling about Kevin's happiness, the potential that Kevin might be leaking information, might be leaking things about the Cavs locker room. There's been speculation that Kevin Love was the person who leaked the whole thug slug controversy with Beeline. I don't know what to believe. I don't know if I believe that, but definitely interesting. I personally feel like Kevin Love is, you know, you can't expect, he's not going to give you anything better as long as he's on the Cavs. But if he gets traded, and if you think, I think he's going to get traded, and I'm willing to bet that if he gets traded, his numbers go way, way up. So if you believe that in your contending team, and you think you can get him for cheap because he's been underperforming and all this bad energy around him, I say go for it, because I think there's a good chance that, you know, he gets traded and that he, you know, really starts performing on the team, and he could be someone who could really take you up from, you know, good to great if you hit it at the right time. Kevin, what do you think about Kevin Love and the potential for him to potentially provide you with some of that amazing, you know, all around rebound threes scoring, you know, with percentages that he was giving you, you know, a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to be Minnesota Kevin Love again, but he, you know, and even with how bad sort of this season has seemed, he's still averaging almost 17 points, over 10 boards, almost 2.5 threes, almost 3 assists. Like, he's doing Kevin Love stuff out there when he gets on the court. And he just turned 31 this past year. But I do have concerns. I don't know. I'm going to go the other way on this one, because I think, one, his contract is ridiculous, and I don't know what team is going to pick up the rest of that contract that the Cavs had him sign for. So I don't know if he actually does get traded, because I'm not sure what team would actually make sense to be able to offload and take that type of salary. But even if he does get traded, you know, he's by far the best player on that team right now. He could easily end up going to a team where he ends up being the second or third best player. And while, you know, he may be a better player, I guess, from like an analytical standpoint at that point, where he doesn't have the pressure of being the number one guy, I could see his usage and sort of his regular counting stats and stuff trend downward a little bit. So, you know, it's tough to say, but for me, I probably would not try to trade for him unless the price obviously was very cheap. But I'm not going to extend myself to try to get him on my roster sort of at what I think his value probably is going for.
Yeah, I mean, it really does come down to whether or not you think he can come back, right? Like, and to the third star point, I mean, that's what he was in Cleveland. And I think that in those good seasons in Cleveland, he was still providing you with some pretty good value just because of the versatility of the stats that he gives you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where, if you think that he can give you, you know, 2 threes a game, seven rebounds, a couple of assists, and, you know, 18 points, 15 points a game, that's someone who is worth trading for if you think you can get him for the right price, right? And
right.
That's where I think his value is about as low as it's ever been right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of the Cavs stuff and just how messy it all is. So I don't know. I feel like there's an opportunity there if you're a believer. And I feel like he has something to prove. And if he gets traded, he's going to want to prove it. And again, if, you know, you're right, there's definitely a lot around the contract. He definitely could not get traded. And if he doesn't get traded, it's going to be difficult for him. But if he does get traded, I think he could definitely see a big uptick. And I'd buy that. If he gets traded, I think he could be good again under the right circumstances. So anyway, that's to each their own for K-Love, but you know, we'll see. So next we're going to talk about some rookies. We're inspired by Fantasy Unicorns contributor Joe Redeman. He great article that he wrote. How much do NBA draft results matter for rookie drafts? It's a very interesting article. So we're going to, after just a short break here, we're going to talk about a few rookies that we want to talk about and give you our dynasty take on that. So stay tuned.
All right, guys, and we're back. And as Tony had mentioned prior, we are going to quickly just touch base on the latest article for the Fantasy Unicorns provided by our newest contributor, Joe Redeman. We'll have to have him on here to kind of get more in depth into this article because it's pretty impressive. And I highly recommend, especially anyone that likes to kind of nerd out on statistics and do a deep dive on sort of the statistical analysis. He does some cool stuff here where he really breaks down rookies from the last couple years and how valuable they kind of end up being. And he really, you know, goes into just their fantasy points per game over time and goes, he has a thing on bust rate by NBA draft position. And he really kind of breaks it down and basically comes to the conclusion that, you know, a high draft pick, you know, it seems to point to those players having more innate talent, but the real value of drafting rookies taking that early is that they implied security of their playing time. So when you draft one of those guys that is an early draft pick, they have more set in stake as far as playing time. And that tends to be the sort of the highest correlation for that fantasy success and reasoning behind it. But he gets into all the numbers and stuff. So I'm probably not smart enough myself to really do a good job explaining that, but we'll definitely have to have Joe on to break it down because it's a really cool article. We haven't really done anything like this before. And I think, like I said, if you're into that sort of stuff, definitely go and check it out.
Awesome. Yeah. So that jumps off, kicks off our next segment here that we're quickly just going to do some quick hitters on some rookies, our thoughts. And essentially the way that we're going to do that is, and I think this is going to be kind of fun, the way that we're going to evaluate these players is because we're a dynasty podcast, we're going to say, would you trade a first round pick that looks like it's going to track to the mid first round? So between 10 and 20, would you trade that pick to get this rookie on your team. I think that's an interesting way to sort of gauge their value. So kick it off. We're going to start with Ja Morant. Kev, would you trade a mid first for Ja Morant?
Oh, for sure. I think Ja is
for sure
a great player who is going to be even better. And he's having already a pretty solid rookie season, and he's been getting better as he's been going. And I think he has a really bright future.
For sure. I have to agree. I think that he probably two, probably three. I mean, that probably wouldn't even do it. I think whoever's got Ja is super happy with him. So it's going to take a lot to pry Ja Morant away from anybody who rosters him. The next guy, Brandon Clark. Would you trade a mid first for Brandon Clark?
Yes, I definitely would. I think beyond Ja and Zion, Clark to me is sort of the clear cut number three rookie in the draft. And I like his versatility, his ability to get defensive stats. And I think he's going to be a really good player for a number of years.
A big fan of Clark. Yeah. From the beginning, you've been a big fan. So that's great. I have to agree, obviously. I mean, I think it's clear that he's going to be a great player. I think most people would do that. I think it's the asking price would be much higher. PJ Washington, Kevin, would you trade a mid-first for PJ Washington?
I'll have to admit, I did not really expect this from PJ Washington. He's turned out to be a pretty good player, though he's been a little
pretty
off
good.
The last week or so, he's been a little off. But he's, you know, he's got the opportunity. He's been doing a lot with it. I probably would, yes, I would definitely trade a mid first round pick right now for him, I believe.
Yep, I would have to agree. A surprise for sure. I think, you know, there might be some questions around, and this is where I might be a little wary, is around, you know, the Hornets are a mediocre team. So it's possible that some of this is just opportunity and just he's being given a lot of opportunity, but that, you know, that means something. You have to do something with that opportunity. So it's not, you know, it's not that simple, but to a certain degree you might say, well, you know, can it last? I think it can. But there are some questions, some legitimate questions there. Would you trade a mid first round pick for Kendrick Nunn?
Yeah, I think I still would. I think Kendrick Nunn's another one of the surprises, and I've been impressed with his play overall. I don't think he has the highest ceiling, but neither does, you know, he's just as much of a gamble as any other sort of mid-round pick in the first round. So
right.
I like what I've seen so far, and I would definitely pause, but I think I probably at the end would still make that trade.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm on the fence about Nunn. I like that he's doing it on a good team.
Yeah.
To me, that means something more. Especially with a coach like Spoelstra, who just is so talented. I really feel like, so to me, I think yes, because of the potential. Because to your point, it's not that he has such a super high ceiling. I think that what we've seen is that he can get minutes. And that's really important in fantasy. So I would go for that. Next rookie, Rui Hachimura.
Yeah. I'm not as much of a believer in Rui overall, but he obviously, in Washington, he has some opportunity. And I think he can be a pretty solid player for the next few years. Again, another player I would pause and think about, but I would probably still end up trading a first-round pick, mid-first-round pick for him. Knowing that, you know, he has a solid floor, I believe. And I think, you know, with some upside. And so while I'm not fully buying into the player, I think that's a fair price to get for someone like him.
And all of this coming from a Wizards fan. So non-biased here.
Really, yeah. Bro. Yeah.
I would have to agree with you. I guess for me, I was not a big believer in Rui. I still have some pretty big question marks around him and around his game, but I think that he's answered enough questions to justify that price. I don't know if I would give up a high first for him. I would not, probably.
Yeah.
But a mid first in especially in this upcoming draft where there's some question marks as we get into the middle of the first round. I'd probably take that deal. What about Jackson Hayes
with the New Orleans? Jackson Hayes, yeah, I'm actually pretty high on Jackson Hayes. I think he has flashed quite a bit of ability, especially recently, and he's got just a ton of potential, I think, in the NBA. I think he's a guy that you look at what Capella does, I think he could be somebody along those lines, but possibly, you know, a more explosive version. And I think, you know, playing next to Zion will be very interesting. But I think, I'm buying into the talent and I'm buying into the situation. And, you know, I think next year he could end up being, you know, a pretty valuable player.
Yeah, I'm a little more wary of Jackson Hayes. So where I'm at with this is that I'm not sure that the Pelicans have that much talent in the front court. And I'm concerned that maybe the reason why Hayes has been able to do what he's done thus far this season is because there just hasn't been that much talent ahead of him to sort of justify playing him less. And on top of that, I worry that because the Pelicans will have a number of draft picks over the next few years, I just feel like he's going to get pushed out there. And I just don't know if he has the talent to stay. I haven't seen enough to make me confident that he has the talent to sustain.
Yeah, he is still raw. He is a raw player. He's not fully there yet. But I think what he's flashed so far and sort of that potential upside is higher there than it is for a lot of other rookies that we've talked about. That for me, you know, I'm buying in, even though I did draft him in one league and traded him later. So,
well, I'm for what it's worth, I think he'll be fine. I don't know. There's so many possibilities with a pick.
That's the allure.
Yeah. Tyler Herro. Would you trade a mid first for Tyler Herro?
He's been up and down, and he definitely has some potential. I probably would hold on to that pick, personally. He's really young, and he just turned 19, he's turning 20, I guess, in a week. But I don't know if I buy into everything yet. Yeah, he's been playing well. I guess he's been averaging 2 threes a game. So he's got that upside, but every time I watch him, he looked good, really good in summer league and everything. But I think I've caught him in games during the season where he just looked a little out of place and kind of confused. And so maybe that's swaying my judgment a little bit. But for now, for me, I'm going to hold on to that mystery pick that is sort of the fun of the unknown.
Fair enough. I'm a little surprised that you said that you're going to hold on to it, because I would trade the pick and I don't really like him. And here's why, because I actually think that he's versatile enough I think he's going to always shoot good percentages. I think he's going to develop well. As much as I don't like him as a player, I think he will develop well. And I think that he could provide, I think he has the opportunity to become a ball handler.
That's the key. I think if he can become a little bit more of a ball handler, I think that's what he needs for his game to really kind of get better.
If he doesn't do that, then I agree with you. It's not, but I think he can. I think that he has the ability. I think he's smart enough. I don't really like I don't love his game, but I feel like for fantasy, he might be able to provide value. So I would probably, I don't know. I could go either way on that, honestly. I could go either way. That's a toss up for me.
Okay. Fair enough. Anyway,
so moving on, Matisse Thybulle, we talked about him a little bit earlier. I definitely would give up a pick. I love his game. I would definitely. Yep.
I'm with you too. I think the stock's potential is enough to warrant that. And I think he's always going to have that in his game, regardless of kind of how much the rest of his game progresses.
Yep. Yeah. I'm with you. I think that he so much upside to his game, especially as we've talked about many times on this pod, like people who get you steals and blocks are worth more than any other type of category. because it's so, the margins there are razor thin. And if you can lock in those categories, his fantasy value, it skyrockets. So I'm all in on that. Next player, an interesting one, Eric Pascal. Would you trade a mid-round pick for him, a mid-first?
I don't think I would. I think he's had a surprisingly good season. He's a second-round pick. But obviously, that Warriors team is a mess, and I think it's just kind of due to that factor. And I could see him really kind of having a sort of a return to what we were expecting next year when people come back healthy. So I'm not giving up a mid-first-round pick for him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just don't. Even what he does on the court, it seems like he's just the scorer. He doesn't do anything else. He gets a few rebounds, but that's kind of it. I just don't think that there's going to be enough there in Golden State to justify, you know, putting in any future capital into him. So yeah, I agree. Okay. Next, someone who had a really nice game tonight. I'm watching the game. I'm watching, it's Monday night. I'm watching Thunder Timberwolves right now. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm watching Oklahoma City, Minnesota on a Monday night. All right. But that's what it is. I'm a junkie. All right. Yeah. And he had a good game tonight. He's really surprised some people. I picked him up in our expert league, in our little Yahoo expert league. I picked him up. And he's been pretty good. I like Jarrett Culver. I would definitely give up a mid first for him.
Yeah.
What about
No question. He's definitely worth mid round, if not more. So to me, I think he's got the talent, and I think he's gonna end up being a really nice player.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I like him. I think he can. I think he's actually gonna be one of those guys who gives you two-way upside. He can get you steals. He looks like he's going to be an okay defender just because of his measurables. I mean, he's not a great defender right now, but I think that he can be. And I think that he'll do a lot on the floor. So I like him a lot. The final rookie, a rookie near and dear to my heart, actually, one of my favorites, Sekou Doumbouya. I definitely would give up a pick for him. I don't know if you would. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I am a believer that he, you know, again, sort of like Hayes, is very raw still, but the upside is very tempting. And I think he's a guy that we'll see what happens with Blake Griffin moving forward. But, you know, he's going to get some more opportunity now. And I think he's a good talent, and I would very easily give up a mid-first round pick for him.
Yeah, I love his game. I think that he has 1-1-1 upside, the 1-1-1 upside, where he can give you a three, a steal, and a block a game. I think he could be like the Nick Batum kind of a player. I really do. I think that he could be that good. At Nick Batum's best, not Nick
Batum. Right, at his peak.
And people forget that Nick Batum was like a triple double.
Oh yeah, he was a triple doubles.
It was great. I really like Sekou Doumbouya. I would definitely give it up. So you and I are on the same page. I'm going to throw in one more on this off the cuff here to close the episode. Selfishly for me, but you know, hey, Cam Reddish.
Mm.
Would you not?
Yeah, he's definitely very divisive, I think. But I would.
He's
I think,
on the fringe, right? I think it's a good one. He's right there.
It's close. I'm still buying into that talent, even though, you know, it's been a rocky start for him, and you know, he obviously his time at Duke was not ideal, but I think he you gotta gamble on that talent, I think. And I think a mid-first round pick is more than fair.
I am with you. I am with you. I like Cam. He had a great game last night against the Nets. I don't know if you saw it, but he has the opportunity to give you a lot. He really does. So I'm all in on. I mean, I don't know about all in, but I am very excited by Cam Reddish. I think I would definitely. I don't know if the Reddish owner would give up that much, because I've come to find that most people who roster Reddish, they believe in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was divisive from before the draft, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, so that's that. That wraps up this episode, episode 16 of the Fantasy Unicorns Basketball Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time and listening. I'm not sure if we really kept it as short as we were hoping to, but hey, you know, that's the way it goes when you put me and Kevin on the mic. So thank you so much. I've been Tony Papadopoulos at @who's_your_papa on Twitter. Hit me up, follow me, tweet me, ask me questions. Happy to answer all of your queries. Kevin, let the people know where they can find you.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at Kevin So.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for your time. Thank you, listeners. We really appreciate it. I am going to move on to watch Orlando Sacramento, which actually might be kind of a fun game to watch. So, you know, whatever. thank you so much. Have a great day. And thanks for listening to Fantasy Unicorns.